Listen now for Call to Worship, a half-hour program dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by the Zion Chapel in Holland.
Reading the last part of the letter to the church at Thyatira, listening to the words of Christ as he closes that letter. Revelation chapter 2, verse 26, "And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. And I will give him the morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Let's give thanks for these words and pray that we will have an ear to hear what the Spirit saith, and also that the Spirit might be given in a needed measure to lead into all truth. Our Father, we come to Thee through Christ. We come giving thanks in His name. And we pray, Father, now in His name, that the Spirit might be given, not only to lead the church into all truth, but to add to the church, even daily, such as should be saved, to come in conviction, to come in taking the things of Thine, Lord Jesus, and showing them to both the lost and the saved, to increase that in the church, and reviving, and to give a new beginning in the hearts of those that are lost, a beginning in Thyself. And as Paul could write, "If any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new." We pray for that today in every place, reviving in the church, awakening and salvation in the home, especially the broken homes, the troubled homes, the children in those homes. We pray it, Father, for the nations, our nation and other nations, particularly those nations at war, that they might hear the message of peace on earth, goodwill toward men, that they might know, Father, the need of having peace with Thee through Christ. They may know that all other things that are contrary to that are lies and bring hatred, death, all the terrible things that are taking place in the wars that often lies are making to happen and to continue, and the awfulness of it. And we pray for those that are victims of it, the homeless, the hungry, the sorrowing, the wives taken captive where the husbands have been killed, and Father, the children in those terrible situations. We pray and plead that Thou would bring that blessing through Him who is the Prince of Peace, and again that peace might come and that peace might reign on the earth. We pray, Father, for the spiritual things first in the church and in the world. We pray also for the temporal needs, those in sickness, injury, those in sorrow, again the broken homes. We pray, Father, for the needs in the workplace. We pray for the needs in the school, that there might be truth instead of the lie taught, that Thou art the Creator and the Sustainer of the world, the Lawgiver, and that they might then know guilt in such a way that each one will know also the need of a Redeemer, that it all might lead to that. We pray, Father, for the needs there are in nature, for those who are suffering under the ravages of the weather, and we give thanks for what we have in blessing, and we pray it for others as well through Christ. Amen. As we look once again at this letter, last week we saw the part of that letter of Christ stating in verse 28 of Revelation chapter 2, "And I will give him the morning star." Christ speaks of himself in the last chapter of this book of Revelation as the bright and morning star. He states, "I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto these things in the churches, and I am the root and offspring of David, and the bright and morning star." He testifies in the church. And again, how we need to pray for what is in that last part of each letter, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." The message is there. The message has been there since Adam sinned, when God said to Satan that the seed of the woman will bruise thy head, saying it before Adam and Eve, and evidently telling Adam and Eve the message of the gospel so they would begin the sacrifices. He clothed them with skins. Abel knew that and offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain by faith. And then later, Abraham, knowing that Christ would come, and Christ saying, "Abraham saw my day and was glad," God giving him that wonderful promise, "In thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed." Stating it in a somewhat shorter form the first time, "In thee shall all the nations of the earth be blessed," but stating it more in fullness the next time, shortly after he had shown his willingness to offer Isaac. And then those words again in their fullness stated to Isaac and to Jacob, and Peter repeating them in Acts chapter 3. To Abram was that covenant given, and that Peter could say, "God sending Christ sent him to bless you and turning every one of you from his iniquities." And Paul also speaking of it, writing to the Galatians, giving that message and saying to Abram was the gospel preached. Yes, the gospel of God, the gospel of Christ, the gospel of grace. All of these ways are true and wonderful and all needed, coming from God. God so loving the world that he gave his Son, Christ the one dying for us, and then by grace, not of our works, or would not be done. Never, never, never. None that understandeth, none that seeketh after God. Then God's grace comes. And as we sang, "Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Place in my hands that wonderful key that shall unclasp and set me free. Till the Spirit comes, we do not see." Christ said to Nicodemus, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." In the last part of that verse, each one of the three, "Open my eyes, illumine me, Spirit divine." That's the Spirit that Christ is closing each letter with. "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." The beginnings of each letter is Christ describing himself. And each time, each of the seven churches describing himself in a different way. But he ends it with these exact words of the Spirit to each and all of the seven churches. Yes, it is Christ Jesus, the Son of God, that has spoken to this church and to the other six as well, stating these things. And to this particular church saith the Son of God, who has eyes like unto a flame of fire and feet like unto fine brass. He is, as we sang last week, the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. And if we know him rightly, we will say with the songwriter, the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. Yes, everything we need is in him and from him. He is the good shepherd that laid down his life. He is the good shepherd that goes in the wilderness and finds the lost. This is the fourth letter that we are reading from here now about Christ as the bright and morning star and other things that he said about himself in the beginning. He says in this letter, I am the Son of God. He begins each letter describing himself, each one giving a different description, but all true of him. It is not a contradicted description. There are many descriptions of Christ that are all true. Isaiah already wrote in the Old Testament, his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, and each one is true of him. Every other one is past, gone, dead. It can be said of Christ, as Paul wrote, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Yesterday with Abel, with Abraham, with David. John writes in the book of Revelation, he was the lamb slain from the beginning of the world. Each one saw him as the lamb slain. And when he finally did come down to earth after 4,000 years, after he, with the Father, created the world, John the Baptist could say, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Before that, there were probably millions of lambs offered on altars as a type of Christ. Abel, Abraham, David, and others, all doing that, knowing that that was a type, a picture of Christ. And as Abraham said to Isaac, when Isaac said, You have the wood and the fire, where's the offering? Abraham said to Isaac, God himself will provide a offering, a lamb. And he did. All of that is given in promise first, then in fulfillment, and now in teaching. Here the Lord Jesus himself teaching the church. And again I say that every other one that ever called himself a leader or a prophet is dead. He alone lives on the right hand of God on high, and by his Spirit can and must live in our heart. Here we read these different things that he said, and he is saying it from heaven, sometimes sitting on the right hand of God, as he's described after he did his wonderful work here on earth, dying, rising again, ascending to heaven, and sitting down on the right hand of God. But also, as we'll see in a moment, with Stephen, he was standing. He is the one that has the Spirit, as John wrote, the Gospel of John, chapter 3, the Spirit without measure. One time when the Spirit was given, poured out with the early church, we read the place was shaken. Another time when the Spirit was given, it was as the sound of a mighty rushing wind. When Paul preached the word by the power of the Spirit, he was accused of turning the world upside down. All of it was done because of Christ. All of it was done when these things were applied by the power of the Spirit. Opening eyes, opening hearts, convicting, pricking, and then comforting and assuring. Again, because of Christ, by the Spirit. And he is that one. When we think of the first letter, he said he's the one holding the seven stars in his right hand and walketh among the seven golden candlesticks. Yes, the seven stars being the angels of the church or the ministers of the church, however we want to think of them. They are, the golden candlesticks are the churches, as Christ described it in that first part of the book of Revelation. Then we come to the second church. These things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. Listen to that again. There's only one that can say that. Was dead and is alive. Was dead for your and my sins. Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He called that the gospel, and it is. The gospel is not what we do. The gospel is what Christ did. And he is now no longer dead, but alive, as the angel said in the morning of the resurrection. He is not here, but is risen, the risen Savior. Then of the third church, these things saith he who hath the sharp sword with two edges. All of that is his description of himself. He also says, the Son of God, who hath eyes like of a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass. Then we come to other churches, and these things saith he that hath seven spirits of God, and the seven stars. John also saw that likeness of the seven spirits, or saw them as lamps of fire before the throne of God, as he described it in Revelation chapter 4. These spirits, of which Christ closes every letter, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. And here Christ is described as having the seven spirits, and again one with the Father, as John sees the seven spirits there before the throne of God. All of that shows the likeness of God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. Yes, at times manifested in different ways, but always one eternal God, as Moses said, from everlasting to everlasting. And we need to know Christ in that way, as the first and the last, as the same yesterday, today, and forever, and everlasting to everlasting with the Father. When we come to the sixth church, read these things, saith he that is holy, and he that is true, and he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. Oh, what words of finality! He shutteth, and no man openeth. I think of the warning that Christ gave. Strive to enter in. He says, many shall seek and shall not be able, when once the Master hath closed to the door, and you begin to stand without, saying, open to us. But he will at that time have shut, and no longer will open. Now the door is open. Nobody can shut it. He has opened it himself, and it will continue to be open as long as he gives that blessing. And as he said himself, he shutteth and no man openeth, and he openeth and no man can shut. He alone can do all things needed for his glory and for our present and eternal good. He said he would build his church. He also said the gates of hell would not prevail against it. Satan cannot close it to the Lord Jesus. It may seem that way at times. The psalmist cried out, how long, O Lord, how long? Seemingly that God was not blessing or hearing, but he does in his own time, in his own way. And in one way we can say it is always short. Our days are short. We are like the grass, green in the morning, in the evening cut down. That's the way God describes our life. And we need to know it. And we need to know it from him who opens the door and shuts it. I think of one way that it can be shut, probably without our even thinking about it, that the warning that God gave through Paul when he said, gave them over to a reprobate mind. Isaiah speaks of those who call evil good and good evil. Then the door of his kingdom, the door of his spirit, the door of his lighting is closed. Closed by the hardness of our heart. Closed by our unwillingness to hear, to see. Having eyes and seeing not, as God described Israel. Yes, he can give the blessing, and he does give the blessing through the new birth. Opening eyes, opening hearts by his Spirit. We also read in the last letter to the last church, these things saith the Amen. Again, finality. Amen also means so it is. Will not be different than that. What he said, what God does. These things saith the Amen, the faithful witness. He was a faithful witness to that church at Laodicea. The church that was very wrong, very proud, thought they were rich, they were very poor, they were blind, naked before God. But he was the faithful witness to them, called them to repentance, called them to open the door, that he would come in once again to them. Some people picture it as if the door is closed and only has the opening on the outside, that Christ can't open it. Let's remember that that picture is first of all to the church. The church likes to say it to the world, but Christ is saying it to the church. He's saying it to you if you are in the church. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. The church in self-righteousness, the church needing desperately repentance like it had in Corinth. They were puffed up, they were proud, but God led Paul to write to them, and they then had a fervent mourning after reading that letter. And then the door was opened, not only to Paul, but we may believe to Christ and their need of him. And that's what we need today. We need what the Corinthians experienced. We need what Christ said to the church at Laodicea, and we don't know whether they ever did or not open the door. We don't know whether they repented. Christ gave the warning that except they repent, he would spew them out of his mouth. And we know that there's no church there today. Yes, he was the faithful witness to them, the beginning of the creation of God. He was with the Father and had the Spirit. And we need to see this, that it is one God in three persons. Some don't want to believe that Christ is the Son of God because they say they don't believe in a Trinity. There is a Trinity of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We'll come to that a little bit later in a few moments, but coming first of all to more of Christ and the final one, the faithful witness to all of the churches, giving that particular description of himself as he sees each church needing it. And that may be true today. There may be things of Christ that we see and believe and other things that we don't realize, and Christ has to show them to us who he is. We may say, well, we're talking about Christ. Isn't this a letter to the churches? Yes, it is a letter to the churches, but we must know who it's from. It's from the one who is the first and the last. It's from the one who was dead and is alive. It is from the one who is almighty. Almighty. That takes away man's will against Christ. He is the Almighty One. We are the weak and sinful ones. We are the ones dead in sin. And we didn't know that. Yes, then if we know him, we can be in the right place as Paul was an example. Who art thou, Lord? I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Telling Paul two things, who he was and what Paul was doing. And we have to see now also the end of all of these churches. Let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Christ is speaking himself and then stating also that he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith. Christ speaking, and he also wants us to hear what the Spirit says. And again, we might say they are one. very much one. We could take Stephen as an example of that. And we can see a wonderful example in him. When we think of Stephen, shortly after the Holy Spirit was given, Stephen was chosen as a deacon first. And we can see the truth of this in Acts chapter 6, verse 5. We read a man full of faith and the Holy Ghost. And then a little bit later, we read of Stephen in chapter 7, when after he had preached and the people were angry at him, about to stone him, we read, he, full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. He could see into heaven by the power and blessing of the Holy Spirit. And he said, I see the heaven opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. By this we know that there is one God in three persons. He was filled with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost was here on earth in Stephen. He was full of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit led him to see the Son on the right hand of God, to see God on his throne. Yes, there are three, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let's hear the voice of God today from Christ and from those who believed on him as Stephen did. How we need to cry to God in and through Christ, and especially hope that we can pray in one accord as that early church did, and then was strengthened from power from on high, and were a witness to others as on the day of Pentecost. Oh, how we need that so desperately today, in the home, in the church, in the nation, in the world, for Jew and for Gentile, all together, that hopefully all the ends of the earth will soon hear and fear and turn to the Lord.
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship.
Praise the Lord.